fire.
Welcome to Embers of the Bonfire. This is your host, Harb Najjar. And today's guest is a creative and an artist, Muhammad Al-Attar. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today in the show.
Thank you for being here.
I'm super excited.
Today's topic is imagination is your canvas. What does that mean to you?
I think the most difficult thing about this topic was to keeping it a secret. And I think I managed to keep it a secret.
Thank you. I appreciate keeping it low-key and between us.
So for me, I feel like one thing we tend to grow out of, and this is like my key as a creative. When we were kids, we had that very free mind of like, I can do anything, I'm free to do everything. And there, when our creativity and imagination is at its richest form. So usually we tend to grow up, we start to just getting tied down with like society and community standards of an adult, and that will slowly make us strip down from our creative selves. So I had this big responsibility of like taking care of my inner child. I'm like, you're never too old to dream big, to imagine big. Yeah, fishes can fly. Like plus 30 years old, somebody can also think that fishes can fly and believes in it, even if it's just like an imaginative thought. And this is something that a lot of people tend to lose as they grow because they think that I am too old for that. But like, that is you giving yourself a judgment of like, I'm too old for that. So for me, it's allowing yourself to express without limitation. And there where you can just dive deeper inside your mind to just like turn these different ideas into realities.
What made you not fall into that limitation?
I feel like I have this thing where like, as much as I grow, I tend to go back as me when I was a kid. I was like, he deserves what he always wants. So if I should be good, I should also be good to him. So I have that mindset, like as much as I grow, I want that to be celebrated with him. Me, when I was like 5, 6 years old, having this ideas like, I want to create my own world. I want to create my own creatures. I'm like, now you have the skill set to do it. So yeah, give back to him. Because without him, you wouldn't be where you are at right now.
That's beautiful. It sounds like you're honoring your younger self or your inner child. That's amazing. I feel like a lot of us forget that inner child, and, you know, like therapy and things like that always bring us back to focusing on that inner child. I love that perspective. You're still the inner child, and now you have the skill set because of the experience and wisdom that you have now.
Yes.
That's powerful.
I would create a concept I would enjoy making as a kid, but also I know for sure this content I would enjoy as an adult and other adults and kids can enjoy.
So you're, in a sense, blurring the lines between the adult version and the younger version. So in a sense, it's accessible to both.
Yeah.
But aren't we both all the time?
I think yes. But usually people tend to ignore the fact that they were kids at a certain point. And they overshadow that with being like, yeah, I'm too serious. Life is too serious. But yeah, it's okay to loosen up and enjoy.
There is a playfulness to how you see yourself. There's this level of, I feel, acceptance and openness to what is, whatever comes up.
100%.
So what is imagination to you?
For me, imagination is the playground inside your mind where everything is possible. It's the place where a burger can taste like a cotton candy, a bird can walk and swim and dive inside the water. And it's not wrong to have that idea. Like, maybe it's not usual, but it can be possible. I think, yeah, it's like the wonderland of endless possibilities. I think that's going to be a fun name to call imagination.
I like that. A wonderland of
endless possibilities.
Literally, you can create anything and everything in your mind's movie.
Yeah, and there's no limit to it.
what's the use of imagination?
I feel like in a capitalist world, capitalism is running almost everything. It's a good escape from that. It's like in a world of imagination, there is no money aspect to it. Like to imagine, there is no fees to imagine. You do not have to buy and sell. It's just like you need to just tell yourself that, oh, if I can imagine this, I can actually turn it into a reality, either by like illustrating it, turning it into a song, a written book, or whichever form I can do it. So I think this is how I see it.
That's powerful, because I feel that imagination is intangible, and what you're saying is you can bring it into reality and make it real. Would you say imagination is real?
I feel like it's a very tricky question.
I have a study to back that up. I'd love to hear your perspective.
Okay. From my perspective, imagination is beyond reality. However, it can become reality.
If you choose.
If you choose, yeah.
I agree. There's a study on this where there's two groups. One group would physically lift for a month or so, and then the other group would imagine themselves lifting for the same time, same everything. After that month or after that study, they checked the muscle mass of both groups. It was pretty much identical. It was very close in terms of the growth.
This is
crazy. Yeah, and that's an actual study. So the people that were imagining that they're lifting weights for an hour or 45 minutes or however long they were supposed to, actually also built muscle through just imagination itself.
I need to learn that.
So in terms of, is it real or can it be real? There is a study that proves it can be. And it's how much attention and energy do you put towards it? What do you choose?
I think sometimes it's like best of both worlds, I would say. I would still like rather to go to the gym and do like a proper workout than like imagining being in the gym. But yeah, like I have like other areas where I can just like fly with my imagination.
Yeah. It's not necessarily to replace working out. It's it's a simple study that shows the mind has an effect on the body somehow to really affect physical change, which is crazy. It's tapping into that potential. How do you use imagination as a superpower? That's what I like to get into.
For me, I am in a stage where I can, when I work with somebody, I tend to try to get inside their mind and turn whatever they're trying to imagine into a reality. I feel like this is my superpower, would be like being able to whisper what's inside your mind. Whatever you cannot say, I can help you say it, or at least understanding it. I feel like that can be my superpower. And not reading minds, it's more of helping you to understand what's inside your mind.
That's through your artwork, would you say? Or what is that through?
For me, I can just sit with a person and like tell them that you're going through this, this, and that. Sometimes I just would ask you to scribble over a piece of paper and I'll tell you like, how are you doing in life? What is there? What is not there? What are you facing? Without like needing to get into the further details. And I've been using this as an icebreaker. Like when I see people for the first time, I would just like give them a piece of paper and a pen and be like, scribble, and then let me analyze your scribble. And then I'll get like, get out of my mind.
I don't know if this is correlated, but there's a thing where if your handwriting depicts your personality, how you write a sentence, like for example, if you write your name, people can decipher with how you write your name, how you, from the size of your letters and the spacing between it to like depict or show if you're a shy person, if you're a confident person, if you're so on and so forth. Did you hear of that?
I heard of the signature one, but writing names isn't new, but it's similar.
Well, not necessarily names, but like a sentence, for example.
It's similar. It's your very handwriting. Similar. Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting that you're really like showing with everything that you do, parts of yourself.
I feel like it can also go beyond just writing down, like using your hand, even emails, like with the tone of the mail, you can sense if this person is angry, he's not happy with whatever you send them, or they're not happy with whatever they're asking you with. You can also sense it, even though it's not written by hand, but like also the spacing between the sentences and how do they start and rub down their emails.
And also with body language as well, 100%. Right? How people greet you and things like that. I'd like to go back into imagination as your superpower. As you said, using it as a tool, like you were saying, how you can read people and decipher their minds. Other than that, how do you use your own imagination for you?
There is this thing that I don't know how to put it, but like during my years when I used to be a lawyer, whenever I go to the court, I categorize people into which animal they look alike. And that kept me entertained. Sometimes I do use it like as a tool of entertainment. Whenever I go back to court every now and then now, because I'm no longer working as a lawyer, I'm working as a legal consultant, but like I would need to go to court every now and then, I would still see faces that I categorize into certain animals and I'd be like, fun, it's good to see you, Mr. Doc. But like nobody knows about it. I just keep it for myself. So I use it as an like an entertainment tool. Another thing, it helps me to express myself to the fullest. It's the part where like when you express through art, it's you're allowing your imagination to turn whatever you're going through into something that people can actually see. And I think that is so powerful because you can express through visual tools that people can actually feel it. And then so it helps me in my job. So like, how can imagination be a power to a legal person? It's like the way you analyze a contract would be different than an unimaginative person because you'll start to imagining the scenarios that might actually lead if this article was not written in that specific way. Bringing it to a very like logical aspect. So for example, if you are renting a shop in Suez, for long term, you always need to put in consideration to have an article covering force majeure because it's an area where storms hit a lot. So that's something you would definitely expect because last time when Shaheen storm hits, it caused a lot of damages. So people who did not have like insurance coverage, nicely written articles to protect them, they kind of like position themselves in a very bad place. So that is also a superpower. Using imagination in ways that can actually serve something that is not necessarily artistic. It also helps me to sit down with my thoughts. There was this concept in a movie where like this dude, I don't recall the name of the movie, will get inside somebody's brain and see how each person organizing their thoughts and memories. For example, this lady, her mind was a library and she would shelf her memories as books. There's this girl, her mind was like some sort of like toy shelves where each shelf would have like a different memory or a different thought. I think imagination helps you to see how you can like organize your thoughts and memories. For me, it's like a big village filled with small houses. So each house carry a memory and a thought. So I think that is also a superpower. Being able to create a full-on village inside your head where you can actually walk in and out of it whenever you want to.
That's powerful. That's a technique as well. You know, when in meditation or it's, I don't know if you've heard of visualization. Basically, one form of it is one of those houses that you're talking about is a place of peace. For example, your safe place. So if your safe place is by the beach, you know, and it's sunset and the waves are calm and your feet are in the sand and it's a nice breeze, that's a beautiful place to be in for me. Just imagining you're in that space would calm your nervous system down, calm your heart rate down, and just calm your thoughts in a sense, that's accessing one of those houses, as you know, in terms of what you said. So, and in that, you can use that for, you know, when you're in stressful times or in tough time, you can access that through the power of your mind and imagination. It's how do you organize those houses? If it's in a positive intent of having a safe place, but in a sense, it can also go the other way, you know, and imagine can go into something not so constructive and more destructive in terms of it brings you pain and brings you, for example, fear is imagining a negative future. And regret and guilt is remembering, which is also part of imagination, a negative past. So those two emotions are correlated to how you use your mind in terms of its imagination.
I really highly believe that every emotion, despite being negative or positive, is something that we should allow ourselves to feel.
200%. Yeah.
So yeah. If you had fear, the fear would not be inside of these houses. It's an emotion you're carrying.
Yeah.
And you go to these houses to deal with or to like strip yourself out from.
That's a constructive way. But some people, I feel, will build those houses of resentment, of this is why I'm resentful. And then they go back to that house. And in those houses, there's pictures of all the reasons, all the people who've wronged them, all the reasons. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, but that house can be a house of forgiveness of all the people that have helped and supported them. So there's a way of how do you use imagination? Okay. And what are those houses?
I feel like first is learning to love yourself. When you learn to love yourself, you forgive those who hurt you, not because you think they deserve forgiveness. It's more of like, I forgive you because I don't want myself to be associated with you emotionally. So
I love that.
So when you learn that, yeah, you forgive to let go so you can have that inner peace.
In terms of what you said, riding on that is, there's a old term of forgiveness and old definition. And the old definition is forgiveness is like untying a knot that you've tied to that person. And how you described it is a different way of untying that knot, which is you're just untying that emotional pain to that person.
And you're like, when do you know that you actually reach that stage? It's when the person's name is brought up to the table and you don't feel anything about it.
That's powerful.
And so, it's a process. It's not easy.
But that's what it comes down to. That's the sweet spot of you don't feel anything and you're still content.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but like when you reach a stage where like an opportunity comes and you think that the opportunity is fit to them, you'd be like, I can recommend you this person. They're pretty good with that. And you say it, not because you're associated emotionally with them by any form, but it just, you're so content and you so like far away from whatever had between you and them, and you still can see something can be beneficial to them. And I think like reaching to this requires a lot of work. So going back to imagination, I feel like for me, it's more the mindset of like, we should not allow them to have access over our safe places in our mind. I've been doing a lot of work, so it's very difficult for me to see how I can give somebody access if they are no longer part of my life inside these houses that are made inside my brain.
But that's what a lot of people deal with. So how do you create those houses that people that have hurt you in the past have no longer access to those houses? Because sometimes it feels like they still do have access to your mind and imagination. And what is the work that allows you? I know you said loving yourself. So what does that mean?
I feel like it's more of like identifying the damage and knowing that either you forgave the person or did not forgive the person, the damage is done. So having them accessing your emotions is you doing yourself wrong. It's like, this person would not come show up and give you like this long apology. And even if they did, the damage is done. So it's more of like a scar would heal with time. Either they put a bandage or you put the bandage and you kept on like cleaning your wound daily until it's fully recovered. It's more the idea of like, I am responsible over my mind piece despite whom caused the damage to it. Because in the end, we cannot control how people treat us, but we can always control how we treat ourselves. Somebody would hurt you and they might actually say the excuse of like, we've been in a tough place, hard place, this and that. It's not my job to fix wherever you're at, but it's my job to deal with the damage you caused me. And holding myself responsible of going through the emotions that this damage caused me, allowing myself to feel them, getting through them, and moving out of them, I think this is the work. Case to case, it's going to be different pain, different techniques to go through with this and that. So in college days, somebody threw a very harsh word to me. It was like, do you consider yourself an artist? And laughed and left. And I carried the pain for long. And I just realized that person, true, he made fun of me, but that actually made me feel more responsible over something I really love, which is art. Looking back to it now, their methods was not right, but I'm in a really good place right now. Based on the situation, the healing process can be different.
Yeah. I like that you took that negative situation and flipped it. And you said you took responsibility for it, as in what I understood as you learned to love it more and work on it more to make you a better or more, you know, an artist that enjoys the work more. It kind of reminds me of when someone closes their heart to you, it allows you to open your heart more. In a sense, take responsibility and love yourself more and allow that love to come from within rather than from without and from outside you. It's literally taking all these negative opportunities that do come up, because they are opportunities, and switching them and alchemizing them into something positive. That's the key. And I like how you also said focusing on your emotions first. That makes sense. Your emotions, I feel, dictate your imagination and your mind. So if your emotion is in fear, you're going to be thinking fearful thoughts. Fearful thoughts lead to fearful pictures and images, which is basically your imagination. But if you're happy, okay, if you're in a happy vibration, you wake up happy, you have happy thoughts, thus happy pictures and happy images, thus a happy imagination. Focusing on the vibration, on your emotional state first. And it's not to negate the negative, because I do remember you saying to feel it all and not negate and repress it or suppress the negative. But it's to be aware that this is where the negative imaginations are coming up, or the negative use of imagination is coming up, or destructive use of imagination.
Yeah.
And there's also a constructive use to it.
I've came across this reel, I don't recall the person, but they were talking about the concept of like, suppression lead to depression, expression lead to happiness.
And that expression can be done in so many ways.
Yes.
So many ways. What are your houses right now?
Houses,
inner houses.
Inner
yeah.
houses. Each house would look differently from the inside. So like a happy memory, it might have like a projector where it is screening the memory there. A difficult thought that I've learned so much from, it can be like a room where it has objects that are associated with the thought. For example, if I spoke about the moment I got my second dog, Biscuit, she was living in a house filled with kids. She was not associated with other dogs. But the way like Baira was super excited to have her, I do have like a clear memory of the road trip going to Suwayq to pick her up. She was so uncomfortable throughout the whole road trip. Once we reached home, she was under the table. Baira was like, no, you're very welcome here. She kept on annoying her until they got comfortable with each other after 2 hours only. It's just like, that whole memory is like a big lesson to myself, is that sometime there is certain amount of love a person needs to be able to feel themselves around the place. And I think we all as human beings, despite which connection we're like going into, when we feel loved and accepted, we start to be more comfortable to be ourselves, and to be able to actually see that through like the animals you're caring for. It's just beautiful. So imagine like there's a room, when I go in it, I just have this whole memory. I can clearly see it. I clearly remember it. I was going through a phase where I reflected on like how I see myself in Biscuit. I needed a change of atmosphere to be my fully self, and it happened. I can go like on and on, but I feel like each house have like a different energy, different vibe. It's just that the way that my brain function and how it can bring me back to the emotion, thought, or memory, this is how each house is built. I can go back to a situation that happened to me as a kid. So as a kid, I was, I think, 6 or 7. We have this like area that is under renovation at my grandma's house, and they used to keep animals there, and we used to play every afternoon till Maghrib there. I was closing my eyes and like walking, imagining another world happening. So I tripped and I fell. I had like this blackout. And when I woke up, I was in a hospital, and like I kind of broke most of my tooth. I got a nickname out of that. And this whole memory, despite it might be traumatizing, but for me, it's like how imagination was so important to me that getting physically hurt by it is not something like I'm traumatized by as an adult. I would still close my eyes if I wanted to just like have a change of like atmosphere and mindset. And I have a very strong memory where I tend to remember a lot of things. So it's like there is no specific explanation on how each room looks like, but it's more of like what would entangle my brain to remember.
A lot of things you've told me throughout this podcast session is how you take tough memories or tough situations or supposedly tough situations and somehow see the lightness or the lighter perspective on it, in terms of just now, where instead of getting angry or getting resentful towards how imagination blanked you out and getting a physical injury, you took it as how powerful imagination can be. That takes a lot of work. To be open and loving like that, it takes a lot of work.
Also, I highly believe is that with all the hate that is happening in this world, I feel like each person or each individual is responsible to like end whatever damage comes to them. So we don't carry it to the newer generation. We don't carry it to the people around us. So if somebody hurt me, that doesn't mean I have to go and hurt somebody else in order for me to recover. No, I just need to do the work I need to recover from the damage instead of like causing it to somebody else, because that is a very horrible way to treat our trauma, by like moving it to others, because it's not their fault that somebody else has damaged us. And I think like reaching this stage is a responsibility everybody should have.
I agree. A cycle breaker.
Yeah.
There's enough pain. So it's time that we do take responsibility and break those cycles of trauma, of pain, of tragedy, of sadness, and allow ourselves to be the best versions we can be for ourselves. Allow the tree of life through us to continue growing and flowering instead of decaying and going the other direction. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you have that responsibility.
I also feel like the more damage we get, the more we build a wall to receive love. It's also good to learn. Sometimes you need to lower down your walls if people around you want to show you love. That is also something that a lot of us face, where like somebody's showing you so much love, you start to question it. Like sometimes we just need to receive without questioning.
In terms of birthdays, I would always enjoy it by myself or with my wife, and have it very low key and just a small, tight circle, my direct circle. Only this year, I was open to just allowing myself to experience it fully. And I was invited to a family lunch and they sang for me. And there was a lot of people singing. And it was the first time since I was a child to receive this love from all these people singing with all their hearts, just opening myself to that love. And it was just a reminder of the love. I know it's a simple example, but it's a reminder of that love that does exist in the world. And you deserve it. And you're allowed to experience that.
100%. I'm a birthday person. Like, I have this thing where, like, we don't need to celebrate exactly on my day. And I do celebrate with each group of friends, like, on their own. Because for me, I want to celebrate in an atmosphere where people that are celebrating me are happy and comfortable too. So gathering everybody in one place, I would carry that responsibility. Yeah. Like, what if they did not get along? What if this person is anxious? Because there are so many people. So for me, I wrap up August 31st is my birthday and I celebrate throughout September. Like, I would celebrate 6, 7, 8 times in different days.
That's amazing.
For me, it's like, look for a reason to celebrate. Life is too short not to celebrate.
Yeah. I did this year too, where the first celebration was with my wife and a couple of good friends. And then there was also the family one, which is as well. And then on my actual, that was the weekend. And then my actual birthday was on a weekday. And that was with my sister and my family as well. So that's the first time I did it, where I usually just used to celebrate it once a year. But now it's just like, okay, why not? You know, I let's see like some friends.
You should make it a tradition, celebrate as many as you can every year.
Yeah, why not? Celebrate ourselves and just, yeah, enjoy life, you know, as much as we can.
Amen to that.
Yeah. If someone is listening and they want to practically use imagination in a constructive way, what would you say to them?
One important thing is to learn to understand yourself, to know what works for you. Because each person is psychologically built differently. So whatever works for me, not necessarily going to work for other, but whatever works for them, not necessarily work for me. First, experiment. Like, this is very important. Experiment in which way you can dive in to find peace and happiness. Some people find it through listening. Some people find it through reading. Some people find it through illustrating, making music. So find your tools. And that's work that each individual should do to be able to understand what makes them comfortable. And this is what happens when you experience different hobbies. And like, there are actually some people that would never settle to one, but the whole journey of experiencing a new hobby continuously is their way to actually utilizing their imagination. Just know always that despite how much of suppression the society, our community is putting on us, it's always our choice to get out of it and learn to find ways and people that would allow us to express ourselves to the fullest. And it's also like a work where, like, you know, certain things you would not be able to share it with everyone, but there's always that one or two people that you can simply sit and be like, I have this going on. I really would love to talk about it if you have the capacity. And then just find somebody that can hear you out without a judgment. The more you have a space to express, the more you can use your imagination to make things out of your system in a way that brings you peace and happiness.
How do they do that?
By experiencing different things, learning more of what is suitable to them. After they come to learn these two, they start to practice them. You can simply close your eyes and start to imagine you're in your favorite place. Or you can just go research imaginative pictures of like dreamy places and try to find which one is the place you think is a place that's going to bring you like peace. Some people, they reach a state where they forget to imagine. So it's okay to use references to help you build up an imaginative pictures and places.
Do you control your imagination or do you allow your imagination?
I feel like it's mixture of both, because sometimes an idea hits and you go like, how did I think of this? And then when you go back to it, you start to connect the dots. You go like, oh, okay, it makes sense now.
That sounds like you're allowing imagination.
Yeah.
Because it just comes to you. That kind of sounds like my wife was telling me she was reading this book called, I think, Big Magic.
I listened to the podcast. The podcast is so good.
You heard that book or?
I've listened to the podcast. I think the podcast, they were interviewing different people in different creative fields about topics are mentioned in the book.
Okay. And basically the one insight that I got from her was an idea is its own consciousness. And it comes to you if you're ready for it. You have to take action on it. Otherwise, it will go to another person and find its own way to, because it wants to manifest itself and wants to become reality. That really opened the door for me in terms of like switched on the light of how I see ideas and opportunities that do come up in the mind. So that's in a sense allowing. And then we talked about obviously controlling, which is going to your happy place and creating your happy place. I guess it's both work. It's what do you choose, right? Because imagination is like your paintbrush, I feel. And you can either allow it and see what comes up. And if you're in a happy place, in a positive place, or in a neutral place, then a lot of beauty can come out of it.
You know what is crazy is that yesterday we had this exact conversation about this book and about this part where like an idea, if you did not utilize it, it would go to somebody else.
Yeah.
So yes, literally this happened yesterday.
That's a synchronicity. So, yeah. This is allowing, right? So yeah.
So it's like crazy. We're having it again today.
That's crazy. That's synchronicities.
But I do believe in it. I do believe like it would find itself somewhere where it can come out to life. So this is why like I'm always in the run to medic. I want to do this. I want to do that. Let's get this done. Yeah. Let's get that done.
And those ideas come to your imagination's mind or imagination movie. And it shows itself to you first so that you can show others what it is in a more physical form maybe, or in a, whether it's through sound, whether it's through imagery, whether it's through feel, whatever sense.
Yes.
But it's manifesting that into some sort of reality, more physical reality, or into matter itself. That's really magical in a sense. A lot of people use imagination for manifesting. Have you heard of that?
I think I'm one of those.
Okay. So can you give me examples of how you've used imagination?
I'll give you an actual example. Like my first dog, I manifested her a year before. I had like written a tweet where like a year away from now, I'll be having a female
That's
dog
crazy.
Called Fyra. She'll be cuddling with me on the sofa. A year later, that actually happened.
First of all, the first step that I do see from what you've told me is you put it out in the world. You tweeted it, right? So you put it out in the world. What are the next steps after that? Did you just let go? Did you let go, allow it to happen?
In order for us to get to something, there's work that needs to be done. So my manifestation is to have a dog. And that's like a childhood dream of mine. I grew up with cartoons that has dogs. And my dad brought us dogs at certain age when my mom gave them away 2 days later. And my dad had a dog when he was a teen. It runs in the family, but like nobody took it as serious as I am. So I manifested, but I wasn't living in the circumstances that would allow me to have a dog. So work is like what a dog needs. So I need to understand in details how many vaccination per year. If God forbid a problem happened, how much it cost. Accommodating myself to all these needs eventually led for the dog to happen. And it was a birthday gift.
Did you ask for the birthday gift?
Yes.
Okay, so amazing. So you're actively going for it.
Very intentional. Okay, another thing. That's a crazy story. We went in as well this year and I was going through the merchandise and they opened a branch in Sogra village. So I was like, I really would love to make a merchandise for them. The day after, I receive a text from a girl and she's like, Yeah, so Grosh celebrating their 10th anniversary and we're looking for an illustrator. We'd be happy to have you on board. Please make your proposal. I made my proposal. I got into the project. The project was done. It was a very fun project to work in.
You just had the intention?
Yeah.
You took no action. You just said...
But the action I took was like a pre-action. I worked with a roastery to make an illustration for their package. The one that I was so proud of is the one they did not accept. So I had it parked on the side. So I posted it in my socials and I was like, this is a rejected work that I'm so proud of, this and that. I was able to sell it and it actually matched the style that this project needed. So sometime like a pre-action can help your manifestation to come to life.
Me and my wife wanted a place, our first place. I remember reading in a book, Dr. Hawkins, Letting Go, The Pathway to Surrender. In his book, he talks about manifesting. He said that you basically write a list of what you want and you have to be very specific. So me and my wife were looking for a place and we couldn't find. So we're very specific. And this is similar to how you manifested your day. Very specific in terms of we wrote, we want an expansive view of the ocean. We want an apartment. We want it close to where her sister lives. We want this amount of bedrooms, so on and so forth. And we want it to be around this amount of rent. We read that list, let it go. Somehow, some way, that place came to us. It was the craziest thing ever. Because so how it happened was my wife's sister and her and a friend, a family friend, were just driving around. They were looking, but passively looking. Just a random day. And they found it on that day. They couldn't get in or anything, but they just found a for sale sign and they went up and they couldn't obviously go inside the apartment, but they went on the roof. That was the view. That was the view, that expansive view of the ocean. And it was on a hill. And we went once, you know, we saw the place and everything, we went through the list and it was exactly what was on that list. We stayed there. We stayed there for a while. We had a lot of amazing memories. And even though it sounds like it was such a amazing, crazy story, which it really is, in a sense, one thing we didn't write down, for example, is we wanted to be brand new or clean, which it wasn't. And it was old. It was a building from the 80s. And we stayed there for a year and we moved out after a year. But the point is, what I learned from that is you can pretty much manifest everything if you let go and allow. Imagine how it feels and right, be very specific. But also, I feel like there's also a limitation to when you specify how you want it. Because we didn't realize in that moment that we wanted a brand new building or like a modern building. If you allow yourself, instead of being so specific and just trusting the feeling of, I want a home, and being open to allowing the universe to present to you the best home for you. So being open, not limiting on the house color, for example, or whatnot, but being open to what's best for you and allowing that true intelligence to manifest that for you or create that for you, I feel was more powerful because that's how we ended up finding our new home or our current home. Because we were looking for a home and I was telling my wife, okay, now time to manifest our new home. Our family was growing. She was pregnant with our first. She said, and I was like, okay, let's write. Let's write down the list of what we want for our home. And she was like, no. First of all, we just wanted a modern home, brand new home. That was the only specific, I think, in between my mom's house and my mother-in-law's house. That was the two specifics, I think. But everything else, and the rent would be good. And the rest of it was up to the universe to be the best for us. Out of nowhere, it came. And I remember how you're saying the preemptive action was before we found any of the houses, we bought a bunch of like packing boxes and we just started packing our clothes. And it looked like we're crazy, you know, because we have no place. And we're actively trying, by the way. We're going through street by street. She's on OLX twice a day. And we're going with, you know, family, checking and nothing. But we just started packing. And we just packed like slowly, not obviously everything, but we just, you know, got the boxes out, started packing what we don't need in the moment. And it came up and it's our home now. And it's just crazy because it's it shows you the power of what you can
manifest,
but also it shows that the universe, the world, gods, whatever you want to call it, is it knows what's best for you. And if you allow that and trust that, then that's powerful. And yeah, that's what I've learned to, like, now it's like, what's my new dream home? Now it's not even a, okay, my new dream home is by the ocean. But it's not about the specifics anymore. I'm allowing that to manifest to, like, amaze me and surprise me rather than building it detail by detail, if that makes sense. And allowing the universe to just surprise me. And it's just the feeling, the imagination is the feeling of being in awe and comfort and excitement and joy of that space and allowing it to happen. It's powerful.
There's also this thing. When I say my dua, I always sum it up, وَجْعَلْهُ خَيْرًا لِي. And if you apply this to everything you ask for, with or without the specific, it's like God will bring it to you in a way that is good for you. I always rabab, وَجْعَلْهُ خَيْرًا لِي.
That's powerful. That's a open statement of, or an open prayer to allow the goodness to come to you and good for you. Because sometimes we imagine, hey, I want that, whatever the specific is, but when we actually have it, it's not as what we assumed it to be necessarily for us. Like that apartment, that first apartment, it was literally everything on that list, it hit, but it wasn't what we truly wanted in the end. That was a learning lesson of keep it open, keep it for the greatest good, and surrender that, and surrender and trust in God, in the universe, to allow that magic to happen for you.
100%.
Yeah. And till this day, alhamdulillah, I'm always good with parking. Because I remember watching, you know, The Secret? The Secret, there's a documentary. There's the book, obviously, and then there's a documentary. And it's when they're in a parking lot, this person was saying, they just always feel good. They just get right on time parking. You can ask my wife, every time we get perfect parking, no matter where we are, how busy it is. And I know it's a simple and silly example, but it's crazy. I never worry about parking. Never. And there's always good parking. Always good parking. And I can tell from who I'm with by their body language and by what they say in terms of if they're going to get parking or not. But it's crazy because they're manifesting and imagining what their reality. So if someone's like, oh my God, there's so many cars here, how are we going to get parking? All of those things, you're signaling to the universe or to God that I'm not going to get parking. Instead of, I'm going to get parking. That simple statement of, I'm going to get the perfect parking makes a huge difference. And that's the power of imagination. Because imagination isn't just visual, it's feeling. It's feeling good. And in return, that goodness continues. And you signal it out and it reverts back to you and you magnetize it back to you if you stay and maintain that vibration. And that's what I learned for imagination to be, is it's not, it doesn't have to be visual all the time. It can be, but it's also a feeling. Like, instead of waiting to be happy in the future, I can feel happy now. Imagination can be, what does happiness feel like? And creating that in the moment and seeing how your body feels. What does contentment feel like? What does being in your dream home feel like? What, et cetera, and so forth. So it's being open and allowing. I do see the effect of using effort, how you say you're active. And I was also active with, like, for example, we were packing before we even moved, but it's a balance. It's a balance of allowing, 100%. But also
doing the work needed.
Inspirational action. You know, when you're inspired to do something, you're physically manifesting as well. It's a dance between the two that you can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but it's inspired action whilst allowing, whilst trusting. It's, yeah. Imagination is powerful.
It is so powerful. Imagine, believe, and do the work needed to make things happen.
What are your final statements on how has imagination changed your life?
I feel like first, it made me grow beyond my expectations. Because I don't only imagine, I also believe. And the more you believe in something, the more you allow it to happen. Going back to, like, a moment of realization is that when I finish an art project, I go like, I really wish if I can go back in time to my inner self when I was a kid and tell him, like, when you wanted to be a big artist, you are doing the work needed for that. And you're growing day by day and you're going to keep on growing.
But sorry to cut you off, but you're doing that. You can, imagination can do that. You can go back to your younger self. You can. Imagination is does allow you is, and is the canvas to you going back in time and changing and creating those changes, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. A lot of therapy, like you go back to your inner child, and at least from what I've experienced, is going back to your inner child and making them feel a certain way, which is love or acceptance or whatnot. In a sense, that's the use of imagination. That's the use of the mind. And through the mind, imagination is a tool, using it constructively. And you can do that. That's the power is, you know, and you were saying it, like how you remember certain things that could have been traumatic, but you flipped it into something that's become more of a positive, positive incentive or motivation and inspiration. In its own ways, a superpower, how you can flip perspectives like that.
I feel like it's more of learning the bigger image of one thing would always help you to get the bright side of it.
So what would you tell your younger self right now?
You're doing amazing. Keep on being who you are.
What would you say to their imagination? What would you tell them about imagination?
It's as good as it was. It was well protected. It was kept nicely and kept on growing as I grow.
How did you protect it? How do you allow yourself to allow it to not only protect it, but let it grow?
I feel like it's more of the people, that is a crazy artist. No, that's like an artist who believed that his imagination can never stop growing. And
who taught you that?
It's sometimes certain things. It's how stubborn I was as a kid. And I think that's one of the things where so people think this is not possible, but I believe it's possible, so I'll do it. So I think the stubbornness played like a really good role in that. But yeah, it's more of like...
It's nice to hear that stubbornness has a positive effect.
It does.
But it makes sense because it protected you from molding into the regular standard quo of society, status quo of society.
And I also always had that mindset of, yes, there are laws that we all should follow. But when it comes to our brain power, if we restricted our brain powers with rules, we're kind of restricting ourselves. So I had that mindset as I grow where like my mind should never be restricted. So my imagine grew because my knowledge grew. My experiences
That's a
grew.
Powerful belief that your mind has no restrictions and imagination has no restrictions. It's only what you set it to.
Yeah.
It's only what you set the bar to. But actually, you know, going back to first what you said is there's no limitations. It's all potentials. Yes. Your imagination is pretty much all potentials, if I'm remembering it correctly, which is...
It was endless possibilities.
Endless possibilities, yeah. And that's no restrictions, no limitations. Whatever you desire, whatever you choose, whatever you cultivate, the world is your oyster. The universe is yours.
So like never let go of a dream. Maybe you had it 6-7 years back, but maybe it's ready to be coming to life now.
Dreaming is imagining too.
Yeah.
Dreaming is imagining. And allowing your dream to be created from your mind and into physical reality. It's such a powerful tool. It's crazy how we overlook the power of imagination. It's crazy. It shows you the dream. Hey, do you want to achieve it? And then your mind will tell you, as you said, you use it as a, yeah, this is possible. And there's no limits. And thus it can happen. Obviously, there is some work to do. In a sense, it will happen if you allow it to and believe in it. And, you know, and then in some cases, people, you know, see their dream and unfortunately have, oh, this is not possible. How am I going to, you know what I mean? The self-doubt, the imposter syndrome and all of that. So, yeah, it's just remembering that your mind and imagination is unrestricted.
Also, it's the mindset of like, I'm entitled, I am deserving to achieve.
That's that belief with combining that with imagination, because that's when you know you're worthy. You know you deserve it. And that's, you're radiating a completely different energy when you feel you're deserving, when you feel you're worthy. That's a powerful vibration to be in. How do you feel that?
I feel like that is something I've learned.
How?
I've learned through all my past experiences. It's like we always project what we feel to ourselves, to others. So I come from a place where like everybody deserves to be loved. Everybody deserves to be respected. Everybody deserves. I'm like going back to it. I also deserve all of this.
Nice.
So usually we tend to give more towards other and we tend to forget ourselves. So learning that we are also entitled of all what we give to others, we could also like put it back to ourselves. I think this is, for me, it was a long learning experience, but coming in a stage where like, yes, I want to make that happen. I deserve to make that happen. I deserve the happiness that I'll receive once I accomplish this.
That's powerful. That's where magic starts to happen. And that's where it starts.
100%.
Because when you're radiating worthiness, it's limitless. Whatever you want, it's limitless.
Always keep a good will towards everything. And niyya is very important towards. So whatever good intention you put in something,
I agree,
it will grow beyond what you want it to be.
Yeah. It's the law of karma and energy.
100%.
What you give out, you receive. Whether it comes back in the day or in 10 minutes, that energy you give out and that intention you give out does come back. I truly believe in that. And it's, yeah. So, yeah. So I think it's time to wrap up. Your final three questions. Your first question is, what are you most grateful for right now?
I've listened to the previous episodes and I kind of relate to whatever Maria said. Is like, I'm so grateful to my loved ones, all the love and support I'm receiving from them. I'm so grateful for my dogs for loving me even at the days where I wake up and feeling that I'm less deserving, and to remind me that love is contagious, a good laugh is contagious, a smile is contagious. And I'm also grateful for myself for always putting up the work needed to get things done.
And your second question, what is your current superpower?
My current superpower, I've been doing a lot of cooking recently. So making people happy through my meals.
Nice. Your final question, what is one piece of advice or one ember of wisdom that the audience can take regarding that their imagination is their canvas?
The limit you put to yourself is what's going to stop you from achieving what you want to achieve. So if you're uncomfortable to break down your limits, keep on expanding them. And I come from the mindset where like you don't necessarily need to get out of your comfort zone, expand your comfort zone. The more it expands, the more you're creating and making comfortably.
And where can people reach you?
You can reach me through Instagram. It's MIMOON_art.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it.
It was so much fun.
Thank you so much. Honestly, just hearing you be, first of all, listening to all the episodes and the support and wanting to be on, really, honestly, is makes me really happy. So thank you so, so much.
Honestly, it was heartwarming. Like, I'm just genuinely like glowing right now. I have a big smile on my face.
Alhamdulillah. Love to hear that. So to everyone that's listening, thank you for tuning in. May this episode enhance your daily quality of life, enlighten you, and empower you. Hope you have a day filled with wonder and beauty. Stay blessed.
Thank you. Stay blessed. Like, follow, and subscribe.